Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the June 17th, 2021 special meeting. We'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. It's 9:06 a.m. So if you could please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we could please have roll call, please.
Okay, Director Kwiatkowski?
Yes.
Director Mora?
Yes.
Director Armstrong is absent. Director Edwards?
Here.
Director Swan?
Present.
Board Director absence.
Okay, we'll go into discussion and action items. First, is there any members of the public that have to speak?
I do not see any email. Okay.
We will go into discussion and action item number one, adoption of a resolution awarding the contract to the lowest bidder, Excavation Incorporated, for the Groveland Community Service District Sewer Collection System Improvement Project.
Okay, good morning. I'll start off and I'm gonna introduce part of our district engineering team, Brandon Cable. Did I say that right, Brandon? I've never said your last name.
It's Cobble, Cobble.
Cobble. Okay, I've always just said Brandon. So Brandon was actively involved in the design of the project and works with probably all of our other projects on Alfonso, Manriquez, and Brandon's done a great job putting this together and being the right person when it comes to putting together the specifications for a project. I won't belabor it, but we do need to have a conversation as we go into this agenda item that we received messages from, or advisories, one from the Force Account Council that you all received by email, and then also from the Foundation for Fair Contracting. And that's sitting on the table now. I think we got that twice. I just want to make that for the record that we got that. The second advisory, or the advisory from the Foundation for Fair Contracting, twice. The Foundation for Fair Contracting is claiming that Moyle's under investigation for prevailing wage violations, and that may well be the case, but it doesn't disqualify him in any way from bidding on projects or being awarded a contract. Investigation happens when someone, including someone such as the Foundation for Fair Contracting or Labor, Force Account Council, which are both nonprofits, they file claims quite frequently against contractors. It's just the way that functions. But again, the Department of Industrial Relations is the one that regulates that. And they made claims also about the specifications that the contract, we had a little bit of an interesting situation with Ranger Pipeline and Moyle. The base bid was the minimum amount of work that we needed done originally. And then we had additive items that Brandon and Louie worked out so that in the event that the budget worked out and we had the money to get it all done, we'd get the base work and the additive items done. And it worked out that way. The total of both of them were within our budget, but the interesting part was on the base bid, Moyle was higher than Ranger. On the additive items, it was the opposite. When you add them together, Moyle was a little bidder. The specifications and the notice to bidders both called out that the contract would be awarded based on the base and all additive items. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that we're competitively bidding the whole thing.
So that is the key point as far as that complaint
yes.
goes. So are we convinced that we actually did say that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Do we have any idea why they don't think so?
I asked them to withdraw the claim because we immediately, Brandon and I pulled up the notice of bidders and Brandon pulled up the specifications and we shared them with this person from the Porsche County Council. And you don't hear back from them, but I would say, and this is just an estimation, that Ranger Pipeline was confused about, they thought it was on the base bid. And so they bid.
I mean, maybe you didn't say option B or something like that.
No, absolutely, extremely clear.
This plus this.
In the notice, it was underlined and bolded. And
okay, and that's, I mean, I thought that was the case, but I didn't actually have a copy of the, no. There it is.
So Brandon,
I no longer had a copy of the contract or the bid.
Do you want to add anything to that discussion?
No, I think that was pretty good. I mean, it clearly stated it in two sections. It said the project would be awarded based on base bid plus all additives, and it was bolded and underlined in two sections, both the notice to bidders and also the instructions to bidders. So,
yeah, it's a real art and science, I think, for these documents to be right. So I really appreciate that everything's right on there, and we spent a lot of time going over things and reviewing the qualifications of the subcontractors that he's using, because that's, you know, there's underground work, excavation work that he's very experienced and qualified in, and then there's other things that there are subcontractors proposed for that are specialized in the relining of the pipelines, the inside of the pipeline and the manholes, and so qualified subcontractor, everybody's registered with the Department of Industrial Relations, and they're the low bidder. And there is neither of the advisories or claims that were submitted were anything to be concerned about at all. So is I detailed in my or Jennifer Keith in the staff report that she wrote for me, and the effort that Alfonso put together on the staff report summarizing everything. The project bids came in well within the project budget, and it leaves us a contingency, because we're always going to find other things that happen and things that need to be done as we go along. And also covers the engineering and the prime engineering, the project inspection and closeout and all that.
I just have one looking at the bids. This is just a curiosity. So Ranger and Royal were pretty close. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a big difference in how they had the bid additives and the base bid. Not fairly big difference there, but it kind of came a lot close. The other one seemed to be way, way up. Is that like a location thing? Are they from further away, or they're just not very eager to get the job?
I'm not sure about RTC. And Brandon, I don't know if you looked at it close enough to see which particular lines were way off, but it's been our experience that SMCI here, Mountain Construction, they've got a lot of work with Caltrans and with Hetch Hetchy.
So yeah.
And they did everything, yeah. But they always bid high.
I'm just curious, because it just seemed like there was kind of a disparity in Bremo, whereas Ranger and Boyle were, you know, pretty close on those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brandon, did you see anything with RTC that put them?
No, I didn't look too much at RTCs. I can double check and look at their subs, and maybe that was why it did come to such a difference. I know when we looked at Moyle's subs, they actually had really low prices from what we've seen for doing that CIPP work or doing that lining. So that could be why.
Jennifer, can we turn the volume down?
I'm gonna buy you a new microphone. It just sounds like the volume is really high on our end, and it's really not. It's just I think your mic's a little bit fuzzy. That's all right. I mean, we heard you say that there were some items that they were high on, but for the most part, Moyle's bid was really low. Mm-hmm.
I would like to.
In that case, I'll move. Or you can move.
Yeah. I want to move.
Whatever. Okay.
Let me read. Competition. Competition. Okay. I move to adopt the resolution 19-2021 authorizing the award of the sewer collection system improvement project construction contract to Moyle Excavation for a bid amount of $3,653,429 and to authorize the general manager to sign the contract documents and change orders on behalf of the district.
Can I just ask
I want to make sure that there's clarity on the resolution, because there's anytime you get a big project that lasts well over a year, sometimes you think you heard something some way, and I just want to make sure, because there are 7 points within that resolution that we need to get into these so that there's some flexibility on the fly and these things don't come back to the board for further authorization other than ongoing reports. And unless we exceed the amount that's authorized in the resolution. So for example, I can issue the notice of award, which is obvious. Execute the agreement for the amount stated. The general manager is authorized to negotiate construction change orders in an amount not to exceed 15% for this project. That's a lot, but it's not unusual. Because we have the budget in contingency. If we didn't have that budget in contingency, that number would be lowered down to keep it within budget, keep it within the funding that we have available. But that authorizes us, while we've got the contractor and they're doing the work, to be able to maximize that if the need is there. General manager authorized to negotiate feedback. Orders, those quite a bit. Negotiate construction start date, issue notice to proceed, and progress payments. That was in the resolution that approved the agreement with the state. Progress payments to the contractor, and also to submit those to the state, and then file a notice of completion on the district engineer's recommendation. So it's a lot, but it's hopefully. That meets your approval?
Yes.
Right.
Do we have any?
It's in the resolution.
So. Yeah, yes. I know. I like to get that in the record, just because sometimes it comes back and they'll say, you're issuing change orders when you shouldn't, and what gives you authorization? You were the contract for $3.6 million, and now you're at $4 million. And it's both a transparency thing, accountability, and just for good public information.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion from the directors?
When do you anticipate breaking ground?
Well, Brandon reminded me yesterday that once we've gone through this action, then it goes to the state, and they have to give an approval to your budget for the project. And that it took close to 3 months on the Clearwell project, so it could be 3 months out before it starts, or more or less. Just not sure exactly how busy they are. And that's pretty much it.
It's a big project, and I think there should be some kind of announcement that we're breaking ground on this project. I don't know what you guys think. The other directors, but this district worked long and hard on getting this this project done. There's another one following it. And I think that maybe there should be, I'd like people to consider possibly a ceremony, mm-hmm. for breaking ground. What do you guys think?
I agree. Just
throwing that out there.
I agree. The ground breaking, still breaking stones.
What do you think, Lee?
Fabulous.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys already talk? Or?
No. I absolutely agree. It's an opportunity for the board to meet the contractor, and hopefully sometimes they can bring their team, sometimes they, you know, some a representative comes, you know, but you meet the contractor, you know, you get to meet the person from the state that has, that basically has about $12 million in her hands that are going to our projects. And that is always great to invite them and recognize them for their assistance, and the board, obviously. And anyway, it's just we do it at the park, and the good thing is now we have a 3-month window to get the planning together, because we were looking in and around.
Great opportunity. Look at the picture on the walls right here. We need another picture up there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the first major.
Yeah.
Other than the lift station rehabilitation project back right around 2005. This is the first major pipeline rehabilitation underground project that the district has done. So.
Yes, ever.
Good.
Big.
So, yeah, I agree.
That's a great idea. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete. For
he's way ahead of
having that.
No, we're just all on the same page. Brandon will be there.
Yes, he will.
You know,
drive up from wherever he's at. Come to the mountains for a day.
Oh, man, I'm up there a lot.
Good.
Jennifer, do we have any comments? This is a good public.
So we'll enter those just last statement. I will enter those two email letters and just recognize them in the minutes that they were submitted and reviewed by the board.
Yes. Okay. Moved by Director Kwiatkowski, seconded by Director Swan to adopt Resolution 19-2021, authorizing the award of the Sewer Collection System Improvements Project Construction Contract to Moyle Excavation for a bid amount of $3,653,429, and to authorize the general manager to sign contract documents and change orders on behalf of the district. I'll now call for the vote. Director Kwiatkowski?
Yes.
Director Mora?
Yes.
Director Armstrong is absent. Director Edwards?
Yes.
Director Swan?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Very excited about having a local contractor do the work, and Loyal has done perfect work for us.
Stuff. I understand being happy about that. I'm just
generally
it's good that we're complying.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
With the regulations.
Yeah. It's it was a good process. We had a good pre-bid meeting. We had great attendance. Four bids is
what's interesting, the two of them came out so close.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it suggests it should be a fairly accurate bid, at least until the first time we make something up and find something we weren't expecting.
Were all four bids present for the three?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Good.
That's good. Yeah. And people are busy right now, too. So it's good prices that we get. And to have it there. So I'm just really, really excited to have, again, to have a local.
And that's really very decent.
You know, and hopefully we don't have the unforeseen, and we can best. Invest the contingency into more improvements. Okay.
Even though I'm not logged into the meeting, I'm quite.
So that'd be great if we could, if there is more to work identified as well.
Jen, your mic is still on.
Are you using this? Are you using this meeting?
No, sir.
Oh, she's in your advice. There you go. How did you do that?
I guess words we don't hear very often from you.
She's just listening to it. All right.
It was a nice meeting.
Yeah,
nice.
we'll continue
glad,
to
glad to be here.
We'll provide updates on the progress through the state. Brandon's a really good pusher of payments and contracts. He has a really good relationship with Francine and the team there, and so that I'll keep you informed on the progress of getting a budget approval. It should be a budget approval by that time. The contractor will be really ready to mobilize. So it's obviously going to be late summer. And we'll get as much work done as we can. There may be a shutdown period if we get some good weather, by good weather rain, yes. Because it makes it difficult to do the work.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing anything in the trench. And so it could be a short shutdown period, but it'll be monthly reports on the...
How many work days are we talking about?
Yeah, Brandon, do you remember off the top of your head? It was in the 300s.
It's a big project for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right here.
I think it's 335.
Yep. That sounds very familiar.
It's twice a week.
Yeah. It's more than a year. That's a 5-day work week. Anyway, it's going to be based a lot on the scheduling of the subs too, because it could be much shorter. It could make more progress. We've got a communication system, at least a skeleton worked out internally. It will involve running on social media. It'll be daily as far as traffic control, water sounds, or anything. Everybody's going to have to know that there is no possibility that can put a week out and be accurate. You can guess, and we will. But for us to be able to say they will be at the end of the street in that driveway by Friday. If they're going to be blocking a driveway or turning water service off or anything, we'll be putting notifications out at least a day in advance. And so it's an accidental strike of a pipe. So there'll be a lot of communication needs. So our staff up there, the contractor is going to be required to give us regular officials ready to go.
Is the chief in charge on job site, or how does this?
The project manager, Brandon. Sorry, I'm trying. There we go.
You guys are breaking up pretty badly, Pete. If you can repeat.
Okay. Bummer. Would be not that.
Maybe type it in the chat.
Okay. People. Anyway, it'll be a
shop. Yeah, it'll be,
the
project manager.
I'd say that was the thing. Yes. Okay. Got it. So they manage the project, do the weekly, bi-weekly meetings with the contractor. we go through, we go through each time, just to make sure that we're communicating well, we're staying ahead of, and they keep a list of, a punch list of things as you go along, you know, move that dirt, if action test, some result on this, video inspect that, fix that broken is, that stay on a punch list that the project manager had covered that on a continuous basis, and then at the end of the project. And we keep a retention payment, and that stays in a fund that is not released. Make sure at the end of the project that all the materials have been paid for, all of those have been paid. And you know, any rentals or anything else will typically get a preliminary lien that bears as soon as they come in and rent the equipment or materials or whatever. So they'll preliminarily then at the end with the release of all those liens, we'll get that final payment.
Sort of related to this, we have to hire somebody.
Not this project. It's not Prop 84. So it's not a program. It's through the when we got the Irwin grant compliance program.
So that's not true for just all public contracts.
No, we prevailing wage. They have to file, they have
I mean, yes, they have to follow, but I mean, we don't, on the Irwin thing, part of the contract was hiring an entity that came in, was in charge of me, so all that stuff got handled correctly.
Yeah. Any reason the prevailing wage becomes an issue, we would look outside if it's, you know, I mean, it's somewhat in engineering wheelhouse, you know, they know what labor was on the job based on their inspection reports and all that type of stuff, what type of crap they're doing. But the payroll records is not done by the engineering. It's the responsibility of the contractor to submit to the state, and then the state will look at it and review it. The different labor compliance program of Prop 84 is that they actually had to do audits.
Right. I mean, so that is essentially built in. Just
Proposition 84. It was really clunky.
Yeah.
Just they realized that it didn't make that much difference. But so we got the, you know, the prevailing wage and the dialed in payment, the reimbursement request every month, those are processed and reviewed by engineering and approved, recommended for approval, and they go and we cut the check at the, you know, the end of the, we also submit those to the state early on as soon as they're approved and signed internally, electronically, so that they can have the time to review them, and we'll stay after them until we hear, okay, it's in this part, it's over here, it's getting approved, it's getting cut, because it's early on, it took some time, but then once the relationship started, they were paying faster than we ever expected. I mean, we're actually caught up, we're ahead on the reimbursements for the Creewell project. I mean, ahead meaning we didn't receive a payment request or an answer from the contractor last month. So it's going to be 2 months to get submitted this time. And we're caught at the state. We don't have anything to them. So, but it'll be the same. We have a problem with cash flow. If we do an interfund loan agreement and take some money from the water and to be able to pay and weigh the reimbursement back from the state. But at this point, you know, if it goes like it has with the private, that won't be an issue. Another reason that we, you know, the finance is managed and the reserves or the cash has been built up over the last few years, even though, you know, we're getting a lot of work done, it gave us the flexibility to be able to do what we're doing, you know, because we're paying $500,000 invoices at a time.
Just speaking of the house that said the Green Creek Clearwell, that we got clearance from the water?
It's running and running well. There's some communication issues with the booster and the new that was put on.
Same problem with the radio out in Butler.
Yeah, so that should be dialed in this week or next, but it still operates. I think it operated manually, but so that runs so that it can move water over. We're estimating the 6th of July will be the day that the 2G is drained and fed it open and get going.
So Pete, the UV, can you guys, all the UV testing is all done and that water is back in service now? That's cool.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, we had to, you know, they had to chlorinate and rinse and fill it and sit and then take bacteriological sample and those all came back good. And so anyway, really, really get a control valve and a pressure transducer and some things that that sat there for that period of time and they got used to being shut off. But everything is running well. Greg's doing a good job with it. We're gonna give it a couple more weeks just to make sure that everything is up and running, get through the 4th of July weekend, drain it down.
And go. Yeah, probably starting a major project just before the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I just talked to Steve this morning and they specifics about it, but they dug deeper into the boxes of these tubes that the AT was saying were not there. And so now they're letting AT know that they are there and that they're going to be back up. So it's moving forward again.
Tubes, you mean conduits?
Maybe. He said yeah. Tubes. So maybe that was the language.
We're looking forward to that connection fiber, that's for sure. Pretty well going, you know, from the communication to the financial to the as best can. The extra communications, it can be really, really important because the rumor mill is going to fly. Anytime a vector exceeds the speed limit, drop gravel, you know, doesn't pull their pants up fast enough, whatever it is, we're going to hear about it. And so we're going to have to recognize that, you know, they're there to do the construction work and do it per specifications, how they look, how they dress, the fact that they're going to make a spill gravel, not clean up, those kinds, we will continually to get it. But it's really but tired and then they have to clean up afterwards. But yeah, you know, we're going to hear about it in that period of time between the day and when they clean it up.
Now, if I remember right, I saw some Pine Mount Lake contractors working on some roads.
Yeah.
The road work out there. They're going to be tearing roads and sewer lines. I anticipate some conflict there or some conversations between this business and that business.
I mean, they're schedule, the PML schedule for their work is really just through the early part of all the pieces that they've announced so far. So I don't think we'll be tearing anything up until I mean, just that when they're done, we'll start tearing up the road.
That's the thing that we're going to hear about.
Right.
And random, I don't know on those, the two main streets, how many places we're going to have major trench work. And I don't know if you looked at that, the streets that they said we're going to pave, but that would be a good thing for know about up front. If we could get, if we could find out the paving Grand Mountain Association is doing and how we're going to affect it, we can come up with a communication plan to reduce the pain, because that'll be the first thing people see is a nice pretty paved street.
Yes. They tear up Pleasant View, and then we come back in and tear up Pleasant View.
Yeah.
And it wasn't by design. We did not have any indication going into the preparation of the bid documents that they were going to do that advance construction work.
Yeah.
And we early on that it's going to be construction work. And later we involved them in the pre-bid meeting and communication in advance of that. I think they already programmed and they weren't going to pull it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, these are not easy projects to plan and implement no matter what. So they were just going to get it done, make it pretty, and then anything else is on our backs. But the contractor will be required to put it back in as good or better condition. The asphalt may be the same exact color where they do the work, but it'll be pretty. But anyway, it's that's really the only dilemma I see. But I'm very confident that Moyle, any of the contractor, is capable of understanding that.
Yeah, he's worked up here before.
He did all of our, like,
and years ago, he's been working up in Pine DCSD for years, decades.
You can't schedule aren't you with different labels?
I am absolutely sure I have it. Yeah, a little flyer.
If not, I can send you.
Okay.
They just remove the ones.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
And then we'll communicate that with Ronnie, like you were saying, what we're up against going into it and giving you information and letting people live in areas that were just recently paved, that it will be put and look the same when it's done. It's just, there's just no way to coordinate these things time-wise. And also, people are going to ask, well, why didn't you treat torn? Didn't you put the water in too? Why didn't you put it in the same trench? Well, you can't. Or it's got a separate by 10 feet, sewer in the same trench.
Yeah.
But per state California regulations have for backflow cross section hazards, so there'll be a lot of issues forward, and as we hear community complaints, we'll address them in our various means of communication. If you have any recommendations, we'll go forward with them. Excited.
Okay. I think, are there any members of the public comments before we close? Okay, thank you for attending. It was nice meeting you.
Brandon.
Looking forward to the next year to you.
Definitely. Thank you guys for having me. I'm interested in meeting all of you guys. I'll be up there soon.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks,
Brittany.
Thank you.
See ya.
Now adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
All right.